Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
We know what happens when we age, right? Hair turning gray, disappearing, wrinkles, pain in new places. Well, it's given rise to a concept called biological age. What is mine? What is yours? Doctors and wellness companies, they sell products, so-called clocks, that try to trace different measures of aging. The thing is, scientists debate fiercely what biological age even is. Angus Chen has written about this. He's a cancer reporter for our editorial partner STAT, the Health and Medicine publication. Hi, Angus.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I looked up this one biological age product you cite in your article, PhenoAge. I went on the website. It says, I can pay $75 to this blood test, and it'll measure 9 things and give me a biological age score. Just first of all, is that the promise of these tests, that it'll give me kind of a medical risk profile and then I can make decisions based on that?
Yeah, I think this is one of the things that's so confusing about the biological aging sort of test products. So first of all, you know, PhenoAge is not just a test that you can buy like from a company on a website. It's also a epigenetic clock, or one of these mathematical clocks that researchers have developed to try to measure a measure of someone's biological age. And it doesn't really tell you something about your health score. All it really does is give you an estimate of your biological age, or how fast it sort of thinks you're aging biologically, based on a certain very specific metric. And that's like how certain genetic markers are changing in your blood or on your saliva or whatever other tissue they're collecting.
Yeah. So in that case, right, they're measuring my what's in my blood, you know, not what's in my lungs or not my heart, I guess. You, Angus, spoke to many experts who say the idea is problematic because fundamentally they don't agree on what biological age really is.
Yeah. So if you think about aging, like you said earlier, Scott, we should know what aging is because we see it all the time. You know, we see our hairs turn gray. We see the wrinkles pop up on our face. We even see things like changes in our mental acuity and so on and so forth. But those things aren't necessarily aging. And it feels philosophical at first to say like, well, I don't know. Is that really aging, or is it just a manifestation of aging? It's something that shows up when we age, but it's not the thing itself. But it's actually very important because we need to know what aging is in order to really be able to measure it and, more specifically, try to engineer it. So I'll give you an example. Let's say we could stop all the wrinkles on our face, right? Does that actually mean you'll live to 120 or 150? Or does it mean that if you live to 100, the whole time that you're alive, you're actually never going to get dementia or cancer or any of these other health-related things that we associate with age? Probably not, right? So how do we know that's also going to be true for any of these aging clocks, like the PhenoAge clock that you also mentioned? And the truth is, right now, scientists don't really know that. And we won't know that really until studies are done following people until their deaths.
Yeah. I mean, Angus, as I hear you talk about this, it sounds like a problem that big data could help us with, right? To run the numbers, the data, follow people, figure out the things that most correlate to longer lives and shorter lives, and then come up with a number, a biological age. I mean, are there people in space who are optimistic that, you know, we'll run the numbers, eventually get there?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, these biological aging clocks, like the PhenoAge clock, all of them do use a lot of data. They are basically built on big data. And what we know about the clocks so far is that they are really good at estimating certain things. Some clocks are really good at estimating your risk of certain diseases. Some clocks are really good at estimating, you know, how long they think you might live. But it's important to note that all these estimations really happen on the population scale. For any individual person, there is always going to be some error bar. There's some sort of margin of error, I should say. And for an individual person, it's actually quite large. So if you were to get an estimation from a clock that says you're going to live for another 50 years, that could be like plus or minus like 10 years or something. So in terms of like how accurate is it really for an individual level, if you're just like buying a test from a company, well, not super accurate, like somewhere between 70 to 90 or something, right? I think people are really optimistic that these clocks are going to be helpful in research and helping us understand what kinds of interventions might be out there that will help us live healthier, you know, for the time that we're alive, or maybe even help us live longer, sort of expand our lifespan.
Yeah, but as you're saying, I guess for us as individuals, you know, to pay for something and spit out a number, don't assume it's particularly accurate for you or for me as an individual person. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's like a lot of these commercial tests that are out there for various health metrics, right? Like measuring your gut microbiome if you're a healthy person. It's really fun to do, but it's not exactly clinically useful information yet. Unfortunately, these technologies are not at that level yet. But I think that the field is advancing. And I think that, you know, maybe one day these clocks will be at a point where it'll tell us something medically relevant for our lives.
Angus Chen is a cancer reporter for STAT, the health and medicine publication, our editorial partner. Angus, always good to have you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, no problem.